That's why I got into special education, for one, because these boys in particular are being labeled special education because of their behaviors, when those behaviors are pretty much the same behavior as all of the rest of the kids. It's just that he's an African-American boy and they expect him to be something that he's not.
What's going down? What's going down? It's your boy T. Cole, and this is the Outnumbered Effect. Owee! So today, I have a very special show, second new show of the brand new 2020 year, and today is our Teacher Appreciation Show. So I have two teachers here today with me, Vanessa and Corey. How y'all doing today?
Good, man. Great, great.
Doing pretty good.
Man, I'm so happy y'all came. I really appreciate it. We had this scheduled a few weeks out, and I'm glad, you know, y'all came in at the time, and we're here today. I'm so happy and grateful.
Yes, yes, man. It's always a pleasure to see you, man. It's been a long time since we've been able to sit down and have a conversation. So, man, anytime we're able to get around and sit down and get a little chit-chat in, it's always good.
Always, bro. Always. And always a pleasure seeing you too, Vanessa.
Hey, always. Right on the tail end of the break, though.
We were talking about that a little bit, right? Before Corey came. You know, it's a little bittersweet. You know, are y'all happy to go back, or are y'all just, you know, you want to chill a little bit longer?
I'm pretty excited. I'm always excited to see my kids. I'm just not excited to get back to the grind. It's going to be a lot of adjustment.
Yeah, man, it's a long road ahead, man. The finish line is got a couple of months till it's finish line. And like when we go back, the kids aren't back. So our first day is we're going in, we're going to see what worked the first half of the game and see what happened, what was good with some of the strategies and things that we put in place. So that should be good. But, you know, once we get back in the swing of things and the kids are around and we're there with the kids, I'm good, man. That's what I love to do, man. I love being around the kids. I used to coach there, so they all know me as coach. Everybody calls me coach, so they can't wait to see coach.
Oh, that's awesome, bro.
Yes, yes.
That's awesome. So what would y'all say the toughest month is during the school year, personally, for both of y'all?
So I teach in elementary school. So for me, when we get down to like October, that's about the toughest month for us because we've been in school for a couple of months and then we're starting to get into the routine, but then the kids are kind of getting tired and they're ready for their first break. But also I want to say March, because that's when testing picks up and, you know, all the pressure is on. So I feel like it's, and then my specific grade, it's their first year testing. So it gets pretty intense during those months, but just got to remind them why we're here and we're trying to be successful and things like that.
Yes, yes. For me, it would be, man, December and May are our toughest months, man. It's just because of, like you were just saying, it's routine and everything has been in place. They've been in school for months at a time. They can smell the break. It's right there. So in December, all of the rules are out of the door. Kids are doing what they want to do. They're running all over the place. It's like a madhouse sometimes, man. So, but you have to keep them focused and keep them on the straight and narrow. Keep them like we have a mission. We got a goal that we have to get to, man. And we're almost there. Calm down. We got you. Relax. We'll get there together.
Hey, that's what it's all about. And I really wanted to bring y'all on here because I really wanted to highlight y'all, because I can personally say that I really haven't had, I mean, growing up, I can't really remember having any teachers that were of color. I mean, unless, you know, I had a Spanish teacher. That was about it that I can really think of where I had a person of color be one of my teachers. So that's what the Outnumbered Effect's all about. Not really trying to exclude anybody, but really including us and just really just highlighting those good black and brown, you know, leaders of the community. And I think for y'all to be teachers, that's just one of the most underrated jobs out there, because y'all are the ones that are shaping the young minds for the future and really kind of getting them to realize, hey, I want to be a doctor when I grow up. I want to be a lawyer when I grow up. I want to play basketball, but at the same time, I could be a scientist too, you know? Exactly. So I really, really appreciate y'all because y'all are molding those young minds and creating the future for the world, you know?
Yes, sir. And we appreciate that, man. But, and, you know, it's just shaping our youngsters, man. And like you said, you come from New Jersey.
Yeah.
And for you to say, I didn't have any black or brown teachers, that says a lot right there. Even you come from the inner city of New Jersey and you didn't have any black or brown teachers. That's a big statement, man. For what I found, you know, teaching is like 60 to 70% field of women. It's a women-dominated field. And me as a African-American male, especially in an elementary school, it's like unheard of to see like black male teachers in elementary school. In middle school, yeah, because you have a lot more behaviors and stuff like that, so you get a lot more African-American males. But at the elementary level, it's rare that you see a lot of us. Like, I can count on one hand how many it is in the district that I'm in that's teaching the elementary school right now. So it's not a rewarding profession or career as far as monetarily. You know, the reward comes at the end of the school year, you know, when you see those kids and they've grown from where they were when you first got them. It's like, wow, this kid, I'm a behavior specialist. So my kids, man, they're biting, scratching, mm-hmm. punching, hitting. They're doing all this stuff when I first get them. But as the year goes on, I get to mold these kids, man, and shape them and put them on the right track. And at the end of the year, that's my reward when I see how far they've come from the first day that I got them. And the monetary thing, that'll come, man. I'm a entrepreneur, do all that other stuff on the side, man. But this is what I think I was put here for, man, to mold these kids and shape our future.
That's fire, bro.
Yes, yes.
That's fire.
So I personally come from a different end. So growing up as a Spanish speaker, I never had teachers who spoke Spanish. Mm-hmm. So I am a dual language teacher, which means I teach in English and Spanish. And so my students, I tell them all the time, I was like, I can speak to you in two different languages. I did not have that growing up, but I am still successful. Like, that's not an excuse. But I tell them that they need to take advantage of this opportunity and mm-hmm. grow in both languages. Because growing up, like, I had nothing but English teachers. And so my Spanish suffered because of that. And, you know, I got it back in college and stuff. But they are given so much more opportunity now, being that they have those dual language programs. And, you know, they get to see people who look just like them, who speak Spanish. And, you know, they come from the same roots.
Yes, yes. And even as they get older, as a professional, even if they want to go into teaching, if you have dual language, that's like a stipend that you could get extra money on top of the money if you teach bilingual classes. So if you're teaching bilingual, you get a little bit more on the side of on top of your salary. So if that's another way that you can make a little bit more on the side other than your set base salary, man. So dual language, like I teach in San Marcos ISD, so it's mostly Spanish speakers, a lot of Spanish speakers, but we get a lot of kids from Mexico that come to our school and stuff like that, a lot of shelter kids that don't have parents. They all living in homes and stuff like that. So it's very important that a lot of those kids that don't speak the English and they come, that they have a safe environment, man, where they can practice their skills and learn that second language. And it's very important. And I commend you, things that you do, because I know that's a tough yeah. a tough one, because I know the bilingual teacher at my school, oh, she has a good time. So commend you.
Thank you.
Yes, yes.
I bet. So, like, what's the biggest goal that y'all really hope to achieve by the time y'all are done teaching? Do y'all always want to teach, or y'all want to move up further in the school system, or what?
So me personally, I am on a track to become a principal. So this is my third year teaching. I have my master's in special education, and so I've been put in different environments to where that is something that could be possible. especially being, so I work in Austin ISD. So we have more urban education. So mm-hmm. our school system is a little bit different and it's geared a little bit differently too. But since the dual language program is such a big program in our district, having those bilingual principals goes so far, like mm-hmm. with families, because, yes. you know, you have a family who can't come and communicate with you. You've already made a barrier. You've already yep. hindered them in some kind of way, especially. And then you have parents, you know, they want to do the best they can for their kids, but you have to be able to meet them where they are. And I think that I eventually will go farther, but my next step is principal.
Hey, I see you.
Yes, yes. That's a good deal. Well, for me, actually, my mentor at my school, man, is our principal, Mr. Massini, Scott Massini. He's a good guy, man, and he's trying to groom me into becoming a principal, but I'm like, I think I want to get back. Like, I think I want to get back into in the coaching, man. What I want to do is I want to take some time before I do the principal thing, man, and because I can do the principal thing when I'm a little later. Right now, I want to get this basketball thing set because that's what I come down to Texas on a basketball scholarship. I'm a basketball is everything to me. So I want to bring some principles and things that I brought from a basketball state, Chicago, and bring it down to Texas and kind of set up that same type of atmosphere here in Texas because the basketball scene is not the same because it's all about football down here. So I want to get into coaching, man, at the high school level in the next 4 to 5 years. And so that's what I'm working on right now is getting into coaching and coaching the high school team sometime in the near future here, man. But eventually, like you say, I want to get into my principalship and go back to school and get all of that once I get this coaching thing on the way, man.
And that's good with you coaching and everything because you'd still be able to really help out those young minds and, you know, educate them still on the field and even off the field or off the court with any type of issues that they're having. And they know you have an open door policy.
Yes,
and
sir.
And they can really come see you
yes,
whenever.
Yes, sir. That, and that's what I'm aiming to do, man. Like at my school, before I got there, they didn't even allow anyone, like, to access the gym. Like, it was strictly off limits. No one could access it. So I had to put in that groundwork, man, to actually get them to let me open the gym. These mm-hmm. kids, when they go home, man, it's like they have nothing. There's no structure. There's nothing for them to do. So I had to work so hard to get them to let me open the gym from 4 to 6 o'clock so that they'll have a safe place to come play basketball, learn a game, and also learn life lessons, man. And like you say, it's an extension of school. So when they come to me, it's the same principles, man. We're being safe, respectful, and we're going to be responsible. Those are our three principles at school. We're going to continue to have that. When you come into the gym, I'm going to provide a safe place for you guys to come. Parents can have a little break, drop the kids off 4 to 6. But it was a grind, man, to kind of put that pitch out there and get them to see that, you know, it's just, that was just for me, like what I had. I had a place where I could go in Chicago to stay off the streets. I had a place to go and play ball all night long to 10 o'clock at night. And then I go home. I'm off the street, though. I go home, do my homework, do all that stuff later. But I had that place. So I'm trying to get that place set up for these kids. Same thing that I did, man. So, yeah.
It's all about giving back, man.
That's it, man, because I had people that did that same thing for me, you know, and it's only right that I do the same thing for these kids, man. So, yeah.
I love it. That's how it should be. That's exactly how it should be, because it's all going to come back, and then they're going to do it for somebody else.
Exactly.
When they get in that position exactly. where they're able to help somebody else out, too.
Yes, sir.
That's real. I love yep. it. What do y'all feel like the major issues are in the education system right now, currently? Now that it's 2020, like, what are the major issues that teachers are facing? Because I don't know. I'm not a teacher. I'm not there. Yeah. I want to know from the teachers themselves.
You want to take
it? I'll go ahead.
Yeah.
So all of my students are all dominant Spanish speakers who've been learning English either a couple months or a couple years. So whenever you see my student and they're in the system or whatever, they are labeled as an EL, which means they're an English learner. And something that happens over and over and over again is that they compare how an English learner learns to like a monolingual student. So if you think about it, a monolingual student is learning one thing in one language. My students learn everything in two languages, so they're learning double the material. And so they're always saying, you know, ELs are very like low performers and all kinds of stuff, and that being in elementary. And so we already have this label that we put on our students because they're learning another language. You know, you're like, oh, that's all fine and dandy when you're an adult. But as a child, they're very, it's very negative. And so a lot of teachers as well, like they, you know, they consider ELs to be low performers as well. But we, if you have to look at the child and look at what they're learning and look at where they're going to end up, like right now, okay, maybe they're performing a little lower, but you have to teach them those skills so they can, you know, meet their monolingual partners or whatever at those levels. But it's also, it's a hindrance when it comes to trying to get support and trying to get help in that field, because there's not a lot of resources for that, because they're like, oh, they're just going to be low performers, and they just brush it off to the side.
Yeah, man, that's 100% true, man, especially with the labeling that you were just talking about. And for me, being in special education and behavior, at that, man, it's I fight tooth and nail every day, because it seems like every kid that comes to our school that's a new kid or a kid that's struggling or a kid that has a couple of problems, man, they want to label these kids and get them evaluated and get them tested for special education. And I'm like, calm down. Oh, slow your roll. Let's observe the kid. Let's see what he does in a new environment. See what he does here. Yeah, he may come in. She may come in with a bad reputation from that old school or something like that. But my thing is, I need to see it. I want to see what it is that's going on with this kid so that I can try to adjust and see how I can attack what's going on with you. So if it's home life, then I know how I can address home life. If it's you just have no structure, no discipline, I know how to address and go from there. But when they just come in and then they like, oh, we need to have an evaluation. We need to have a meeting for this kid. I'm the one that's like, slow down, hold on. Let's see mm-hmm. what's going to come out of this, man, before we just label that kid. Because at the end of the day, once we label that kid is labeled. The only way that kid is going to get that label off is if he tests out or we test him out of special education. So that's how a lot of African-American boys, man, that's why I got into special education, for one, because these boys in particular are being labeled special education because of their behaviors, when those behaviors are pretty much the same behavior as all of the rest of the kids. It's just that he's an African-American boy and they expect him to be something that he's not. Like, we African-American kids, I'm not making excuses or anything, but sometimes they learn different than the rest of the kids. Like, the curriculum and everything that's set up is not set up for their learning style. You know, so what I try to do, I try to get my kids to think critically at anything and everything that we do. That's my whole focus, because the most of the teaching that we give these kids is to think in a box. Think this way. Do this. We already telling them, walk in a straight line, hands to your side. It's nothing but rules. So in my environment, I want them to think critically, man. I want them to think outside of the box. I want them to think logically. I don't want them just to think and be a worker. for the rest of their life. Just be a worker bee and just go and do this and do that and do and not have any type of critical thinking skills, man. Because when you get into the world, it's not going to be like that.
Facts.
You're going to have to think critically for yourself.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why I come in. That's why I want and I just want to be there and be that person, man, that can drive and direct some of these kids in that direction so that, you know, they can have a successful and prosperous life, man, and not just be a worker their whole life. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, things you're doing right now, if had you not been able to think critically, how could you come up with this show? You know, these are the things I try to teach my kids. Like, so many things are going on in the world. Well, so many people are doing so much stuff. But you do have people that just get up every day, go to 9 to 5, and that's it. Come home, do the same things every single day. And there's no thought process. There's no critical thinking. That's none of that. It's just same thing. Get up, wake up, same thing. Boom, boom, leave, come home, same thing. So I try not to have those kids placed in that box.
And that's so real that you say that, because if you work a job that you don't like and you're not passionate about it, it could really feel like a chore.
Yeah. Exactly.
You're going every day.
Exactly.
And then it just sucks the life out of you. Exactly. It's kind of like when Pac was talking about, yeah, you know, going to jail.
Yeah.
You know, lift weights when you're young.
Exactly.
You know, get big.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you get older, you know, America eats its babies.
Oh, man. That's
like
real talk.
Pac said, bro, like, it's so real. And as you get older, like, you really, really feel
you start
that
to see
statement.
Exactly, man.
Because going to work every day, bro, like, some of us, we're never going to get anywhere punching the clock.
Exactly.
Like, that's just real talk. You have to have more than one hustle
in order to
make it to that next level. Because if not, it's just, you're just going to be going to work every day,
exactly,
living that life, man.
That's it. That's it. And like you say, you're going to be unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be unhappy, man, just doing the same thing. You might not even like that job. But you got to get up because you have to feed your family.
Yeah.
And you have to do it.
And those bills are going to come.
They come, keep
regardless.
Coming. They're not going to stop.
And y'all are teachers, so y'all know about student loans. Those student loans don't stop.
Oh, my God.
Sally Mae still knocking at my door.
Still, exactly.
Or no, excuse me. It's Navient for me now. Bitch ass.
Oh, man.
But I was going to ask y'all, like, what made y'all want to be teachers? But you kind of touched on that a little bit, too.
Yeah.
And you did as well. Growing up, not really having dual language teachers, most of the teachers that you had really just spoke English, and that kind of affected you kind of getting older. But then once you got back into college, you really dived back into it and you really saw the importance of, hey, I need to be the one making these moves to help these kids out so they can look up to me. And I really, really appreciate that. Like, that's real dope.
You know,
you're trying to open up the basketball, the gym, so these kids can have something to do after school. I mean, if you know me, I've told several people, but I mean, I've been to, in my life, at least 3 elementary schools, 3 middle schools, and 2 high schools. And I can honestly say, like, every experience I had at every single one of those elementary schools and middle schools, and even the high schools, were all different. Like,
yeah.
I've been to schools where they had after school programs where, you know, they're taking us bowling and, you know, we're going to like an art museum. But then I got schools where, all right, school's done. You got to catch the city bus to get home.
That's it.
You know, or I've been to a high school where they actually, during gym, you could do archery or do swimming versus just playing basketball,
exactly,
you know,
day.
Or just dodgeball all day.
Right.
You know, every school system is different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's why I want to ask y'all about this. How much of a big disadvantage do you feel like the kids that are going to public school versus private school? Do you feel like the learning curve is a lot different, or the resources that they're getting is extent? The resources that they're getting is substantially different than what it would be at a public school versus private school. What are y'all thoughts on that?
So this is a topic that I am very passionate about.
We about to get fired up.
We're about to get to it. Yeah.
So being that I'm a teacher in a public school, you know, we get the resources from public education. But if you compare us to like charter schools or private schools where you have to pay to get in, or maybe it's a lottery system, we're at a very big disadvantage in the sense that those schools can pick and choose who they want in their schools. especially like charter schools, they can kick anybody out for whatever reason. It could be, you know, you have a behavior issue. Oh, you're gone. So it's like you really do get to have the perfect school that you want to have if you're in a charter in a public school. But you're also not, or a private school, I mean, you're not setting them up to be successful because you're going to be around everybody your entire life as an adult. Like, you're not going to be with only your private school people or only your charter school people. You're going to be, you're going to meet people from all walks of life. And especially in public school, like at our school, we are a very big refugee school. So we have students from all over the world. We have 80 different languages at our school, and we have a lot of trauma. So at our school, we address it by having like a mental health clinic at our actual school. But it's definitely comes at a disadvantage because we have to go through public money. And once you run out, you run out. And as opposed to, you got a parent who can drop 30 G in your school when our parents, you know, we get free breakfast, we get free lunch, we get free dinner because that's what our families need. And they can't necessarily afford to pay for different things like that. So it's, we're definitely put at a disadvantage. And yeah, we do get a little bit of money from the state, but it's not enough to compensate where our kids are coming from and to help them be successful to those points. But we gotta build it and we gotta do it for our students.
That's a great answer, because I know a lot of people out there didn't know everything that you just said. I didn't know all of it. I knew some of it, but very educational. Thank you for that.
Yeah, sure. For me, man, I think the biggest difference, man, is, well, she touched on most of it. But yeah, the biggest difference, man, is I think in public, well, in private schools, in charter schools, right? Like she said, parents can shell out all type of bread, man, and whatever they need, they can do that if it's that type of charter school or private school. I worked in a charter school in Austin here at and the kids, man, and sometimes charter schools get some of the same kids that we get. So with that said, you know, a lot of kids come together, and you may have a lot of behavior kids in one school. Fine, that's cool. But in public school, you know, I think it's spread out, like, because of the zoning.
Yes.
And the districts and all that stuff, you know, this school may get some of those kids. Mm-hmm. This school may get some of those kids. This school may get some of those kids. But if you're in Austin, like, at a charter school, they're getting all of those same kids in one school. And I'm just speaking on the, from the east side of Austin. This is, the demographic is mostly African-American kids that are going to these charter schools, man. And my thing is, I don't think they're getting everything that they need in those charter schools to succeed. Like, they're doing well. Yes, I work there. You know, they're doing good. They're doing well. But they need to broaden their horizons sometimes, man. It's like, we need to get outside of us and spread our wings, spread out, man. So, because when you grow up, you're going to be dealing in a multicultural society. You're not just going to be dealing with your people, man. And that's why I love public school. That's why I went to public school, man. I saw what the charter school thing was like. And I was like, you know what? I like this. I love this. You know what I'm saying? But I want to go and I want to see what the public school had to offer. And once I did that, man, I got to work with a multitude of kids, all different types of kids from all different types of walks of life, man. Mm-hmm. And that for me was more fulfilling than just working with. I love my kids. I love my people. I love working in the inner city. But I also love working with all different types of kids, man, because you get to see the differences. You get to see the similarities. You get to see that these are kids, kids are taught different things. Kids are taught to hate.
Absolutely.
Kids don't grow up not liking each other. In school where I'm at, the black kids and the Spanish kids and the white kids, they're kids. They all kids. They playing together, recess, class. I'm seeing it. They're taught that, man. And that's why I want to make my mark in the public school. That's why I say public school. I love public school, man. Public school comes with a lot of challenges, for sure. A lot of challenges, man. But with that said, man, it's a lot of good stuff coming out of public schools too, man. Like I say,
definitely.
And
LeBron James.
Exactly, bro. Exactly. So it's a lot of untapped talent in public schools, man. But I love working at public schools. I love working at charter schools too, man. It's just the public school thing, man, is a lot more well-rounded, I would say, man, than these some of these charter schools. I won't say all of them or all the private schools, but some of the private schools are like that too. You know, a lot of private schools are all white or all, you know, and then they learn these things when they're just around each other. So and then they feel it's cool to say the N-word with their friends when it's just them, opposed to having the sensitivity when you have African Americans in your class, or you know what I'm saying? That's the type of environment that I see in public schools that I don't see a lot in the private schools and the public in the charter schools. So
that's a really good perspective that both of y'all gave on public school. Very informational for everybody out there, and they're in the trenches every day with these kids, trying to mold these future leaders. When y'all are going to be, or me included, senior citizens, they're going to be the ones taking care of us. Yeah, exactly. Taking care of us. Mm-hmm. Do y'all have any daily affirmations that y'all do with y'all kids on a daily basis in the classroom? I've seen some on Instagram, some of these teachers, when they come in, I've seen some pretty cool ones. Do y'all do anything like that with y'all kids?
Me? Yes. I would say it's part of our routine, though. So every day that we come in, we have something. It may be different, but it's something that they have to come in. The kids have to come in first. They have to greet each teacher that's there. Boom. However you greet, you dap, handshake, whatever it is, you need to greet them. Hello, how you doing? Good morning. These are the things when you first come into my class, because it's morning check-in, because I'm a behavior teacher. So I'm a So they have to come check in with me, and then they'll go and disperse to their classroom teachers. So they come with me. I do the daily affirmation. We check in. Good morning. Hello. How you doing? And then they have something that they have to do on the board as far as a challenge or something. Say we may be having a game, just like at the end of this semester. We had like a game where you had to earn these Christmas balls to put on your stocking on the board, right? So if you didn't check in, you didn't earn those balls. If you checked in, you earn all of your Christmas balls, and you were able to, at the end of the semester, you were able to participate in the party or whatever it was that we had set up for if you come in every day, because a lot of kids don't come in to check in. They don't like to check in. They'll come, they'll get breakfast, they'll be late or anything, something like this. So that's my thing, to try to get them to come to school on time. One, get in and get what you need from me, get my affirmation, and to put you straight on the right path, to check your temperature, see how it is in the morning time, because it's rough days, man. Dealing with and behavior support. It's rough days. I have days when everything's fine. Then I have days when I have 5, 6 kids going off, kids screaming down the hall, banging their heads against the wall, biting teachers, hitting teachers. These are the things that I deal with on a regular basis, man, and it's all over the school. And I have to respond and calm all this stuff down and send kids to the reset room so that they can calm themselves. This is a room where we have Yoda painted on the wall and stuff like this. So
yeah.
Going to get some meditation in. But that's the job that entailed for me every single day, man. So I try to get them early, enforce that good structure that they need coming from home, because they're coming from, remember, where they're coming from, home. Home is not, most of the time, it's not good mm-hmm. at home. So now they're coming here, now it's going to be structure. So I want to test that water. I want to make sure they're on the right track, man. And that those are my affirmations every single morning.
That's fire. I love it.
Yes, yes.
So for me, it's all about community building, you know, mm-hmm. checking in with the kids. So everybody in my classroom, everybody's got a job. And they all earn their own salary. You know, I teach them about debt and all kinds of stuff.
That's fire.
Yeah.
And I love it.
She's a classroom teacher, bro.
Man.
Yes, yes. She gets to do a lot.
Damn.
Yeah. And so one of the jobs is to be the ambassador of the classroom. So they're the ones who greet everyone. After I greet everybody, they greet them. Same thing, you know, mm-hmm. the way that they like to be greeted in English and Spanish, whatever it is that they want. And being that we offer breakfast in the classroom, we eat in the classroom mm-hmm. as a family, as everybody together. So everyone in my classroom gets breakfast, whether it be their first breakfast, their second breakfast, their third breakfast. Like, I got kids who eat all day. But it's community building. You know, we talk about what we're going to be doing for the day. We check in with each other, you know, especially when we come back after this break.
Oh, you're flashing the lights at me. Yeah.
Especially when we come back from this break, everybody's going to want to know, oh, what did you do? You know, some of them get to see each other and things like that. But something that I personally do every single day is our morning meeting. And we recite something by Rita Pearson. And so Rita Pearson, she was an educator. You seen that video?
Yes. We're a big Rita Pearson supporter at our school.
Hey, that's what I like.
That's good.
And so her saying was, so she passed away, unfortunately, mm-hmm. but her saying was, I am somebody. I was somebody when I came. I'll be a better somebody when I leave. Mm-hmm. I am powerful and I am strong and I deserve the education that I get here.
Yeah.
And so we recited in English. Sometimes we recited in Spanish, but it just depends on whoever the morning meeting leader is. And mm-hmm. so
that's good stuff, man, because that's plastered all over our school.
Oh, yeah.
That statement right there. Yeah. We have it even in the teacher's bathroom, because sometimes, man, teachers need to be reassured and that everything is fine and your work is not in vain. So, yeah.
Man, I love it. I definitely appreciate y'all coming here, doing the show with me today. First day doing the show of the year, so I really appreciate that. Definitely love to talk to y'all again. So much more I wanted to say, but we are running out of time. Thank
yes,
y'all
yes.
for coming.
No problem, man. It's been great.
Thank you for having us.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
Always.
One time for the one time. Oh, yeah.